Soy-co.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers?
Soy-co.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So has this ever happened to you? You apply for a job, you hear nothing, but the ad stays online for months. If you inquire, the company tells you it isn't really hiring. Have you ever applied to a fake job listing? 844-967-2789. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, our Thursday, April 6th, noon hour, lunch hour edition. And I am interested in this because as we talk about labor shortages, which is real.
Yes.
I understand that that's real, but I do not subscribe to the idea that it's real because people are just lazy and not applying for jobs. And this had first popped up for me when I had done a video explaining not really explaining so much as ranting about the third question that was on our ballot on Tuesday that also passed, even though it's already law.
It's toothless.
As far as you have to be looking for work or having work requirements for anyone who's receiving welfare, which how do you define welfare? Because welfare is not a program. There are different public assistance programs, most of which, if you are an able-bodied childless adult, you have to be looking for work to qualify for. But I digress. And the motivation behind having that question on the ballot, even though it was non-binding, was the fact that trying to get Wisconsinites back to work because there's so many job openings and companies can't fill the jobs. Well, it also sounds like companies, according to the Wall Street Journal, are putting up job postings that aren't really open for hire. And I read this in the Wall Street Journal, but just to play a little clip of a different person I saw on TikTok who was summarizing what the Wall Street Journal found.
So you've seen the employment data, the government saying that there's more jobs open than ever before, and everything is booming. But as a job seeker, something doesn't seem quite right. And guess what? Your intuition is right, because now employers have publicly admitted that they post fake jobs. In a recent survey of over 1,000 hiring managers done by Clarity Capital, employers are actively admitting that, yeah, we actually do have fake job postings. And those same hiring managers disclose why they do it. So let's take a look at their top reasons. 50% of them say that the company is always open to new people. So in other words, they keep recs open to see who the heck applies, and maybe they hire somebody, maybe they don't. It's kind of like proverbial window shopping. They're just going to go in and browse and see what sales are going on and see if anybody pops up that's interesting. Next up, we've got 43% say to keep current employees motivated. And I'm still struggling to understand how a job posting that's never going to get filled keeps current employees motivated, unless you're lying to them about job opportunities that they might have. Next up, 43% say to give the impression that the company is growing. And that seems really shady and almost illegal, especially if you're an investor in a company. You go in and look at how many job postings they have and you make an investment decision based on, well, they're growing because they've got a ton of jobs. It seems pretty illegal. And the same thing goes for a job candidate who is applying for a job and they want to see that the company is indeed growing and they're not jumping onto a sinking ship. That one seems really shady. Next up, 39% say the job was filled. That's just lazy recruiting. They should be pulling down those recs whenever they're filled. Then 37% say to have an active pool of applicants in case of turnover. So in other words, they're putting together their own contingency plans. It's the same advice I give you as a job seeker. Have your own contingency plans. Act like a free agent, because the company is certainly doing the same. Then there's 35% say that in case an irresistible candidate slides into your DMs, they want to keep it open for that reason. And of course, the most sinister one on this list, to placate overworked employees. This is basically, they're telling you the cavalry's coming, don't worry, all you overworked employees, and the cavalry never shows up.
The cavalry is not coming.
That is really the most, like, he's not joking. That's a TikTok account called A Life After Layoff, where he gives, I think, a lot of advice on if you've been laid off or when you are looking for jobs. And the Wall Street Journal article. We'll link to today's show notes on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. But that's titled Job Listings Abound, But Many Are Fake. And for some of those reasons that they were listed as far as the hiring managers saying why they keep job recs up, I get the social contract between workers and employers is totally broken, right? Like the loyalty of, you know, pensions and being able to reward you for staying for a long time, that's long gone.
Long gone.
And on the flip side, I think the idea that job jumping hurts you is also not really the case anymore, as far as I found a better job and so I'm going to go do there. And so I get to a certain extent from the hiring side and the employer side of wanting to stay open, right? And like constantly looking for new people. But like at that point, don't you just have a general job application? Like if you are interested in working for a company, send your information here versus a job that looks like it has job requirements and roles and responsibilities, and it just sits there for months. And because there was one example of there was a fake job, I think in the Wall Street Journal. It's kind of a heartbreaking story. I mean, it's not as heartbreaking as in relative terms, but you know, a lot of these jobs, these big companies now use AI for their interviews,
right?
And this woman put on her makeup and her blazer, and she recorded all of her answers. She re-recorded the ones that she wasn't happy with. Like she spent all of this time on her interview because it wasn't with a real person. It was her submitting her video answers, only to find out that it was never an open rec whatsoever.
844-967-2789. You can call or text. Talking about, have you ever applied for a job? Never heard back from them. And then 6 months later, you go back and look. And it's still up there. 608 checking in on the text line. After I finished college with a BS degree, I applied for lots of positions and was told they decided to go with the other candidate. And the job posting remained up on sites like Indeed. I always said that the positions they were advertising were fake. And this certainly happened to my husband. Over and over and over again. He would apply for jobs and go back a year later, and the job was still listed as open. And that's happened more than once.
And, you know, on the one hand, on the individual micro level, it sucks for people who waste their time applying for jobs that they're never going to get. But on the bigger level, you know, the high number of job openings is like one of the favorite economic figures the Federal Reserve keeps using to increase interest rates. Like this has bigger ramifications as far as not having actual numbers of what are the real open numbers of jobs that there is, you know, there is a labor shortage, there is in different industries, and like we need more people. And like, it kind of just like fluffs up these numbers for us not to actually understand the landscape of people who are looking for work versus job openings that need to be filled. Where is the talent gap between those two things? Because this also exacerbates what we've talked about before, which is the fact that companies now use so much AI for hiring,
right,
and software for hiring, in that instead of having a HR person sift through and read resumes, they have software that's looking for keywords. And so if you are not savvy enough as a person who is applying for a job to know what keywords, and why would you know? How would you know what keywords to put in your resume? And if you don't use those, you could be totally qualified for the job, but because a computer's looking at it, not a real person, you don't even get an interview.
Well, and my husband also got offers for jobs that he was not remotely qualified for because...
Oh, really?
Because some keywords probably came up, you know, inspector, whatever. He would call. Sometimes he'd call the recruiters back and say, did you even look at my resume? Do you see what industry I've been in for like years and years and years and years? And it's not washing polo balls or whatever. And what that TikToker said about it being shady, It is shady. Can you imagine being an investor who's looking at a company and you think, well, look at all these. They have 27 openings that are all really good jobs. And all they're trying to do is fluff up their reputation without following through on that. That seems like fraud.
Like the only, out of all the reasons listed, the only one, as someone who was once a hiring manager, so like when I managed a sales development team at growing companies, so to a certain extent, we always were, people were constantly getting promoted from sales development, which was the cold callers, to account executive. And so having the backfill of new entry-level people coming in and being the new cold callers. So to a certain extent, I understand as far as if you actually are a growing company, keeping some of those up with the expectation, because like, but the thing for me was when I was at those kinds of companies, I was also constantly interviewing.
Oh.
And so it wasn't like we just saw your resume and you never were heard from again. Like it was actually me reading them and either following up and being like, I don't think you're a great fit via email, or bringing you in and being like, well, we probably wouldn't be able to hire you for another 3 or 4 months, but like you seem like a qualified candidate. So like that is different than just posting it there.
Oh yeah.
And like seeing if the diamond in the rough pops up randomly. But I do understand as far as knowing that you constantly have the potential to backfill someone who leaves unexpectedly or gets promoted. But that's like the only reason listed that I feel like there is a good reason. By far the most shady reason is lying to your current employees and saying, we're hiring.
Yeah.
We're looking.
Yeah.
What else do you want us to do?
We just can't find anybody. But we're looking.
And I get, and that's another layer of nuance of people apply, but maybe they don't have the right fit as far as their experience or their qualifications. But like, just straight up lying and then padding those numbers and then blaming it on workers that no one wants to work anymore is some BS. And so if you have ever applied to a fake job or you feel this personally as far as this new trend that's happening, 844-967-2789. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matner. What song was that?
That is You Lie by Reba McEntire.
Of course, we're still talking about the lying employers who keep posting fake job postings, getting people excited to apply for a job they think they might be perfect for, only to find that they never hear from the company ever again, and that job posting just sits there because it's not real.
No.
Because there's not actually an opening.
Yeah, that is snaky. That just feels snaky.
It is snaky. And so we were asking if anyone had personal experience to that. I've applied to things and never heard back, but I never had the wherewithal to go back and be like, well, did that role ever get filled? Get filled, or was it ever a thing? I usually just move on.
But you know,
as we've established, I don't have a very long attention span.
But it's even happened because my husband has applied for various municipalities too. And a year later, he'll go back and that same job is still up. And again, I don't know.
And I kind of call.
Maybe that is more along the lines of having someone in the pipeline potentially. But again, it just, it feels dishonest.
And I don't know how you would legislate against this. Because what are you going to do? I mean, the ability to what, check on companies to go see if their all their job postings are real, and how would you even monitor that except potential employees who are applying, what, filing a complaint that, you know, like I don't know how we fix this
right.
beyond just bringing attention to it, but certainly it feels like something that should be brought attention as we continue to not blame workers for being lazy instead of employers inflating their numbers of how many job openings they have.
Right.
But before we, our guest in the next segment is Matt Moreno, who is the chair of the Waukesha County Democrats. And so very much looking forward to talking to him. But before we go to that interview, thought we'd play a quick game of three headlines and a lie. This is where we have four different headlines. Three are real, one is fake, and Jane gets to pick. And you can play along at home. See if you can figure out which one is real and which one is fake. But Jane, are you ready to play?
I am always ready.
All right. Headline number one. Hawaiian Airlines offers to fund, quote, any hobby imaginable, end quote, for pilots who join its team.
Say that again.
Yeah. Hawaiian Airline offers to fund any hobby imaginable for pilots who join its team.
So I want to start competitive motorcycle jumping, and they're going to...
You want to start taxidermy.
Okay.
They'll fund
they're,
it for
they're
you.
They're going to fund me. Okay. All right.
So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, North Carolina seeks to ban participation trophies for children.
Oh, that must absolutely be real.
I actually don't disagree. Number three, giant stolen Dairy Queen spoon found in Phoenix Middle School yard. I'll read it again. Giant stolen Dairy Queen spoon found in Phoenix Middle School yard.
It's my favorite so far. I so badly want that to be true.
And number four, how to find Steve, the elusive cousin of the Northern Lights Aurora.
Steve is the cousin of a what?
I guess. How to find Steve, all caps, S-T-E-V-E, the elusive cousin of the Northern Lights Aurora.
Three of those are true. One is a lie.
One is a lie. I will read them again. Hawaiian Airline offers to fund any hobby imaginable for pilots who join its team.
Okay.
Number two, North Carolina seeks to ban participation trophies for children. I love that one. Number three, giant stolen Dairy Queen spoon found in Phoenix Middle School yard. And number four, how to find Steve, the elusive cousin of the Northern Lights Aurora.
While I also love Steve, the cousin of the Northern Lights, I think that's a lie.
That is real.
It's real.
That is real. And so Steve, it's the elusive cousin of Northern Lights Aurora. So this is on headtopics.com. Stargazers and space fans, take note. More chances to spot the rare cosmic phenomenon known as Steve are expected in the next few years. So there you go. That one's real. What's your second guess?
The spoon.
Also real.
Also true.
Giant stolen Dairy Queen spoon found in Phoenix schoolyard. I don't know. We don't have time to read the whole article, but yes, it's a giant plastic spoon that would probably go in the big blizzard.
Right.
And it was found in the schoolyard. All right. You got a 50-50 chance.
I'm not doing so well.
So you're between banning participation trophies or funding pilots' hobbies.
I'm going to go with pilots' hobbies because I absolutely think they will. Is that it?
That's the fake one.
It's fake. So I struck out
that
on
is
all
fake.
Of them.
So the real one, North Carolina, is going to ban participation trophies for children. Republican senators are standing up to the major threat the nation is facing. But yes, so unfortunately you flunked today, Jane,
that's
but that's
right.
okay, because they were all right. pretty ridiculous.
Jeez.
All right. When we come back, Waukesha County Democrats Chair Matt Moreno is here to talk about what they did to make the city of Waukesha 50.1% win for Janet Protasiewicz. So we will talk to him when we return. This is As Goes Wisconsin. What else can Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And our guest for this half hour is Matt Moreno, who is the chair of the Waukesha, the crucial Waukesha County Democrats. And so I know you've been on the show before with Dan Schaefer back in November after our last election, but this is my first time getting to interview you. So how are you doing?
I'm great. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to meet you virtually.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess, how do you, my first question, how do you measure crucialness?
I would always look at what's our impact on statewide elections. I remember getting involved as a college Democrat in the 2010. And I was always like, if the Democrats in Waukesha could somehow scrape together like 27% of the vote, maybe we could do pretty well. And so that became like the benchmark that I, as a young actor, was like, cool, let's hit 30, let's figure that out. And then you hit 30, and you're like, well, what's next? And you start looking at the role we play in statewide elections. And historically, going back to Scott Walker, Waukesha County was the largest, most Republican county in the country. Like, obviously, there are more Republican counties throughout, but the population we carry was the base of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. And then going to this election we just had, they only netted 26,000 votes out of Waukesha County. And when you take your biggest, most populous red county in the state and you handicap it down to just 26,000 net votes, it's hard to win statewide. And that's what we've been seeing since, you know, 2016, 2017, where Waukesha stopped being their like base, their heart, and we started cutting into their margins significantly. It's really hard for them to win statewide. And we've seen that with them losing statewide over and over and over again as their margins shrank here in Waukesha and the rest of the Wild counties. So that's how I measure crucialness. It's how much of a headache am I giving the Republican Party of Wisconsin?
There you go. That's I think that's, you know, I don't know if they'll put that in Webster's, but I feel like that's a fair way for you to measure it, because I think there's other crucial counties. And I think it's always interesting to look at the sea changes that are happening around the Milwaukee suburbs, purple districts, and which ways that they go. But it has been fascinating. I mean, as we record downtown, the city of Waukesha, the impact that, or at least the weakening of what seems like what was such a stronghold for Waukesha. And so for you, you've been working in Waukesha for the Waukesha County Dems since college, since 2010?
More or less. I mean, working is a generous term. I'm not paid. I do this because I love it. I was a college Democrat. I was an intern with Russ Feingold. I've done youth outreach for the Waukesha Dems, and I've kind of just moved up to being chair over my time. So I've seen the worst of the worst years where Scott Walker cleaned our clock. And I've seen the years that we've been able to look and say we were the reason that we won Wisconsin. Like with Joe Biden in 2020, if we look at the margin between him and Hillary, that margin by itself came from Waukesha County. So we know the impact we're making statewide.
So then that's a significant amount of time to see things, to have a lot of conversations over the years and talk to a lot of different people. And so when you're seeing the changes happening, what are some of the different factors as far as what's shifted as far as, is it people moving in? Is it people getting younger? Is it people actually switching parties? Like, what has been the things that you've seen over time in election after election that you see that this like chipping away has like allowed this chipping away to happen?
All of it. And that's, I think, what's one of the best things is there's not been one thing that works or doesn't work in Waukesha. Is we are becoming a different kind of county. We are growing. We are attracting younger, more diverse families. But we're also having a massive political shift in the country that is hitting Wisconsin and Waukesha very hard, where the country club Republicans of Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney look at the modern day Republican Party as Miley Cyrus is releasing a statement saying that the Waukesha school board's a little too crazy to ban her rainbow song about a weather event. And people in Waukesha are like, wait, these people are Republicans? Am I really part of the same party? So for us, it's been a little of everything. You ask kind of what the big changes have been, and it's with the parties itself. So the Waukesha Democrats over the last 10, 12, 14 years have really looked at how we engage in our communities and what do we do to educate people on Democrats. Because you in Waukesha, you grew up in a Republican county, you assume you're a Republican, your parents are Republicans, and you just kind of decide that that's where you belong. You're in that camp. Mm-hmm. So it was up to us to go talk to the community and be like, well, let's talk about the issues and the policies and who's representing the parties and what you're doing and do it that way. And at the same time, the Republicans were going the complete opposite direction of saying, how can we alienate everybody through school boards or through who they elect for president and how they decide that gay people are the worst people in the world or they want to criminalize women's rights to choose? So as they keep narrowing their tent down, we're doing everything in our power to expand our tent and listen to more voices and encourage conversation and dissent among our ranks. And that makes people feel more welcome and come into the party. And that has a lot to do with it. Yeah. Brookfield, go ahead.
I was just going to reintroduce you. He is the chair of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. Matt Moreno is our guest on As Goes Wisconsin. Just real quickly, Matt, and I've heard from other people too say that the party left them. They were Republicans, mm-hmm. but the party has undergone so many radical changes that the party left them. That they're basically politically homeless now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a really common thing we've heard from voters on the doors. It's something my father said. My father is a fairly lifelong libertarian type person who started voting for Democrats consistently after Trump got elected. We can look at the newly blue city of Waukesha and look at our mayor. Mayor Sean Riley was a card-carrying Republican for many years. After the insurrection, he publicly stated that he no longer can be a Republican because the Republican Party has left where he's at. And then the Republicans brought a challenger against him less than a couple months later for his mayorship. We see it over and over again that as more people are kind of, even just the idea of having bipartisanship is criminalized in the Republican Party. In Brookfield, their mayor endorsed Joe Biden's COVID relief package because it put money in local municipalities. And he said, Mayor Ponto, hey, this is going to pay for firefighters, for cops and teachers, and keep your taxes low while your services are high. And he got just bashed over and over again by the Republican Party that he for a long time belonged to because he dare say something a Democrat did was good.
And so when you're talking about these conversations, as far as, I think you're right, there's like this gut sometimes instinct of everything I've ever been told is the other side is this, this, and that. And so when you're educating people on policy, on issues, what's the messaging that you feel like you see people like a light bulb goes off? Or like, what are some, maybe give an example of kind of some of those conversations where you've seen someone change their mind about something.
Yeah. So I think it starts, you know, we start further back to get to where we are today, because you have to open people's minds to get them to have a conversation with you. And where we started in 10, 12 years ago in Brookfield, there was a mosque being built. And the Republican Party was part of the protest that were like saying, this mosque does not belong in our community. We don't want these people here. Lo and behold, the mosque gets built. And today, there are Muslims serving on the school board. They took their oath of office on a Quran. And that kind of started the change of, hey, these people are different, but they're not terrible. They're not bad. They're just people. And then the Republican Party stayed very focused on these people are bad. They're others. The messaging around the last couple school board races where Muslims were running, absolutely disgusting. Talking about their religion, their race being so different and criminalizing that. So that opened the door for us to go and just kind of be the adults in the room, where we can listen and not talk to you, not preach to you, but listen to you and engage on those values face to face. And abortion's another big one. We've met dozens of people, hundreds of people, who we go and we have the conversation, and maybe they themselves don't like an abortion. Maybe they would not get one personally, but they also know that they have no right to tell their friend what to do with their body, or they want to see their kid who wants to be an OGBYN have to go to Illinois to finish their schooling. They have all these open-minded and open hearts to other people, and they don't want to push those views on others. Gay rights is another great example. You can't really go anywhere and not know somebody in the LGBT community anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet everything from the Republican Party is conversion therapy or banning gay marriage or these people don't deserve to adopt children. That type of messaging and hate does not resonate with people anymore. So when we are there in their communities listening to their concerns and preaching acceptance and love and conversations like adults, it resonates and gives us that door to even consider being voted for.
Oh, wow. That's really, well, it's really encouraging to hear, because obviously those are all things that I subscribe to. But as you're coming off of, as we all are, the election on Tuesday, and what were some of the big changes as far as either strategy or things that you took away from the last election in the fall into this one? Because ultimately, it was a nonpartisan race, even though it felt fairly partisan. And so what were some of the differences that you saw between approaches or strategy in the fall versus the last couple months?
So part of it, I mean, I think the big difference is there wasn't a difference. We ran this like a partisan race, when historically we try to honor the differences between school boards and judgeships. These are nonpartisans, and we should try to take a step back as a political party. But we've also learned that the Republicans don't really care anymore. So if we want to compete, we have to actually compete. So we ran digital ads like it was a partisan race. We had volunteers equivalent to similar, like, smaller fall races, where we were knocking thousands of doors. We had paid staff on the ground. We were running this like a real campaign. And when historically we tend to go a little, not so much, because there's still some kind of icky feelings among Democrats that, in our perfect world, Democrats and Republicans should not be involved in these races. But at some point, we have to admit that this isn't our perfect world. And if we want to have a chance to make it that world, we need to actually compete with the rules that are being established. You know, we are behind the ball on things like school boards, which is frustrating, where the Republicans have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars each cycle the last several years to win school board races. And we are still having a debate locally as to what our role is, because a lot of Democrats don't want the party involved in school boards, because no party should be involved in school boards. That's a parental issue. But if the Republicans are spending $100,000, $120,000, $150,000 annually and running these with professional staffs, maybe it's time we get off the sidelines and get involved. And that's a hard sell to people who genuinely, in their gut, their value is we shouldn't be involved.
Yeah, and I've posed that question a couple times, even with the judicial races. It's like, is this just the new normal of we're going to do this again in 2025? And what would have to shift in our culture or in our politics to have it go back to being a little more boring, because it's a little more like factual versus what policy do you want these judges to like use as their deciding things? But I agree with you as far as these are the new rules. And so to a certain extent, this is kind of how things have to be played now. But what's also interesting is the idea that, which I actually can get on board with when it comes to school boards and it comes to local races, is recruiting people who would be great at running. And as far as when we think about deeper benches and getting good people to run and get experience to then be able to run for higher office. And so how much of that, last question before we go to the break, but I guess how much of that falls under your guys' purview is like finding good candidates?
I think what you'll see next year will be very different than what we've seen in the past. Because in the past, Kristen, if you were a Democrat and you were like, Matt, I decided I want to run for school board, what do I need to know? we'd help you. But I would not sit down and call through a list of people being like, hey, Kristen, do you want to run for school board? We need you. We need good young parents. But I think that's changed because that's what the Republican Party is doing. They are running a WISRED program called, it's called WISRED, and they love to say they're vetted conservatives, where they will recruit you, they will vet you down to the every singular issue you care about, and then they will fund you to win these races. We've seen them eat their own, where people who were paid staffers over the Republican Party didn't pass vetting and got primaried in their own school board races here in Waukesha with Amanda Roddy. So for us, we have to change how we did things in the past.
All right, well, we'll talk more about other strategies going into the rest of this year and then into 2024, because it never ends. Our guest is Matt Moreno, who is the chair of the Waukesha County Dems. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Quick reminder that in the next hour, Katie Rosenberg is going to be here, mayor of Wausau, and we are also going to be giving away Brewers tickets. So if you would like to go to the Brewers-Cardinals game tomorrow night, which is at 7:10 p.m. at American Family Field, you might want to tune in because we'll have a prompt for you to call in and get those free tickets. But for now, we are still talking to Matt Moreno, who is the chair of the Waukesha County Dems Party. And now that this big election is behind us, we have a little bit of a break for the rest of 2023 before another whirlwind year of 2024. And so what are some of the plans for Waukesha and the county party as you... Do you get to kick your feet up a little bit, or do you have a lot of plans for this year?
I don't know. Kristen, how long have you been in Wisconsin? I don't know if we ever kick our feet up.
I know.
So right now we go right into a budget fight because the Republicans have shown that they do not really care much about what the people who voted for Tony Evers want in a budget, nor do they care about the governor's budget. So we are going to be campaigning for and supporting the governor's budget. But really what we're going to be using this time for is to build our communities and build our neighborhood teams. Get into a real organizing moment where we're not just focused on mobilizing, because it feels like we've been in mobilization for years now. So we as the Waukesha Dems have our first staffer of our own. We're the first county party in Wisconsin to actually have a staffer that works for us and is directly reporting to us and not the state party or to a candidate. So our goal really is to expand our neighborhood teams as the model we use for organizing, where each community is led and organized by volunteers in their own community. Because I, as somebody who, you know, is in Waukesha, should not go to Eagle and try to organize, because I don't know what's going on in Eagle, just like folks in Oconomowoc don't know what's like in Brookfield. So we try to go to the lowest level possible, so that there's going to be a ton of that, where we're just reaching out to folks, building those volunteers up, training them, but also being in our communities. We plan to be at as many fairs and parades and farmers markets as we can, because that's where people are at, because we need to be out talking to folks, listening to folks, making our presence known. You know, even though we just won the city of Waukesha and we are 42% now in a county where we used to get 26%, people still kind of like, hey, I'm the only Democrat in my community. And we are working on changing that. It started in 2020, where we had over 5,000 Joe Biden yard signs up. We heard every day of just, I didn't know my neighbor and this neighbor and that person were Democrats. So just building that sense of community, because at the end of the day, politics is about community. So we're going to build that sense of community up and start preparing for what is going to be another most important election of our lifetime for like the eighth time.
Oh, yeah, another one. We got another one around the corner.
844-967-2789. If you want to ask Matt a question or send in a text from the 507. Thanks for having Matt on the show. He is an exceptional leader for the Waukesha Dems. Here's my question. What can parents do to get their politically interested teenagers, young adults, involved in the party?
I love that. We actually have one of the largest high school Democrat chapters in America here in Waukesha. So if you are a parent or a high schooler who are listening or seeing this, or have them reach out to the party, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias. Our TikTok account is now live. So we are there. We have a great way for young people to get involved, to make a difference. And really, young people are going to be the future of our party. I mean, just by nature, but also by how they want to get involved. I always heard, you know, young people are so, you know, pessimistic. They don't want to be involved. They're apathetic. And then you see UW-Eclair students waiting 3 hours to vote. Or you see Gen Z just wrecking everything when they decide they want to. Young people are more fired up. They're more empathetic than any generation we've ever had before, and they want to be involved. So that's how they get involved, and we're super excited to it. We have a very well-developed youth development system. I was one of the first people that came through that pipeline of youth development. Our staffer, Lauren, she was actually the first high school then to take over in our party, and now she's back as a paid staffer. Now she's graduated college. So we have a very good system to help young people learn how to organize, learn how to talk in their communities, and make a difference.
844-967-2789, the number to call or text if you have a question for Matt Marino, the chair of the Waukesha County Dems. Tom is on the line from Stallus. What do you want to ask him, Tom?
Hi there. Really quick, when you're out talking to people, what do you do when you run across people like, say, CJ, who calls in all the time and is right-wing nuttiness? How do you handle people like that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Tom. That's a fundamental organizing question, and I think there's two different ways to do it. You always engage with compassion. Kill them with kindness and a smile, because at the end of the day, when we as Democrats make policies or get elected, we govern for the entire country, whether or not you voted for us. Unlike some of our other, you know, our opposition party that really likes to burn bridges, we like to build bridges. So always leave some compassion, give them space to explain themselves, let them be heard. Because a lot of times people are angry because they don't feel heard. So I love letting people talk to me, tell me what they're doing. Find that middle ground of compassion and empathy where you understand where they're coming from. But at some point, you have to value your time more than their ability to express themselves and cut the conversation off. Because at the end of the day, if we are out looking for voters, talking to voters, we don't want to spend 2 hours with a Trump voter who will never, under any circumstance, ever support the baby-killing, pedophile Democrats. Because there's a next-door neighbor there who could really use somebody to talk to that could listen to the concerns they have.
Do you ever have role-playing sessions, Matt? Because I volunteer if you ever need someone to be someone who's completely illogical. I've been screening calls long enough now. I think I could do that.
Absolutely. So every time we do new canvassing, we always do trainings. And part of that training is role-playing because it's so important. We, you know, knock on the clipboard and we're going to have a fake conversation, because if you're a new person who's never done this before, I don't know about you guys, but I was always taught in my household, there's three things you don't talk about with strangers: religion, sports, and politics.
Sports? Really?
You know, you don't bring up baseball or football with random people because you never know where they're going to fall. Like, do you want to find out your best friend's a Viking fan? So that's what I was taught. And so when you are a stranger, like, hey, go knock on these random 40 strangers' doors and talk to them about something that is very taboo. Of course, we're going to train you, and we want you to have a great time, because if you have a great time, you're going to do it again. And if you have a great time, the people you're talking to are also going to have a great time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with the minute we have left, for anyone who you just inspired to get involved, where can they get more information?
Yeah. If you want to come check out the Waukesha Dems, WaukeshaDems.org, or every social media at Waukesha Dems. We're literally everywhere you could possibly imagine to find us.
All right. Well, we will put all of that information in our show notes today on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Matt Marino, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I'm more than happy to come back anytime you guys will have me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Mayor Katie Rosenberg is going to be here, and we are going to give away some Brewers tickets. So if you are free tomorrow night and want some free tickets, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.